This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, July 5th, 2026. Game Time, The Amazing Race, given by disciple member Devin Jacob.
Well, good morning, Connection Church. Morning. You can do a little bit better than that. Good morning, Connection Church.
Good morning.
Thank you. My name is Devin Jacob, and I am here because Pastor David and Pastor Emily are on vacation. So it is my privilege to be here today. I have been a disciple member at CCC for the past 25 years. I know that seems impossible considering I'm so youthful, but it's the truth. I've been here since I was 15 years old and have been here from the launch and ever since. This is where I met my husband. We just celebrated 16 years of marriage. Yeah. Again, I don't know how that's possible considering I'm still only 20, but you know. And we have two kids. Harper is 13 and Nolan is 9, and they are involved in our youth and children's program here. Thank you, Bonnie and Kyle and Amy. If your kids aren't plugged in, you need to get them plugged in because it is transformational. And I am a sinner, saved by God's grace, and I am nothing without him. So would you go to God in a word of prayer with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for waking us up and bringing us here today. I just pray that people hear your word this morning, that transformation happens, and that people are able to see your son Jesus and the new life he offers. We give this time to you, and we glorify your name. Amen. So the amazing race. Who here has seen it? Let me see. Yes. I love this show. In fact, if I was going to be on a competition reality show, this one would probably be it. The Amazing Race is a long-running reality competition show that first premiered in 2001. With more than 35 seasons, it has become one of the most successful adventure-based competition shows on television. The show follows teams of two people. Oftentimes, they're spouses or friends or coworkers or dating or like a parent-child duo. And they race around the world competing in challenges for a grand prize total of $1 million. Each season features teams traveling thousands of miles across multiple countries and continents. And along the way, contestants face detours, roadblocks, exhaustion, navigation challenges, missed flights, wrong turns, and moments where they want to quit. At the end of each leg of the race, the last team to arrive is usually eliminated. And one of the most interesting things about this race is this: the team that starts first doesn't always finish first. Some teams begin strong and they fall apart. Some teams get distracted. Some teams waste time comparing themselves to others. Some teams panic during detours. Some teams quit communicating. Some lose focus. But the teams that endure, they stay focused on the destination. And isn't that a lot like faith? Because following Jesus isn't a sprint, it's a lifelong race. There are spiritual detours, unexpected roadblocks, and seasons where you feel exhausted. There are moments when you wonder if you took a wrong turn, times when you feel behind everyone else. But there is hope in all this. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. This scripture is going to be our anchor during our time together today. And let's take a look at it here. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, Let us throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. As we read this scripture, it's important to understand that this letter to the Hebrews was written to an early community of Jewish Christians who were facing severe persecution, social ostracization, and weariness. Many were tempted to abandon Christianity and revert to the safety of traditional Judaism to avoid suffering. But while the author of Hebrews is officially unknown, they wrote this passage to inspire the Jewish community, or the community of Jewish Christians, to keep going, assuring them that their present suffering is temporary and that Jesus, who endured the ultimate sacrifice, is both their guide and their ultimate reward. While most of us aren't facing the kind of persecution the Hebrews faced, we do know what it feels like to be weary, discouraged, lonely, and tempted to give up. In that, we need to remember to run with perseverance the race marked out for you. Not someone else's race, not someone else's timeline, not someone else's calling. Your race. And here's the truth. Many people start fast spiritually, but few finish faithfully. And today I want to challenge us to run your race. As I was studying this passage, three truths jumped out off the page at me. Three things that I believe are essential if we're going to run, finish the race that God has called us to run. The first thing we need to understand is this. God has given each of us a unique race to run. One of the things that fascinates me about the amazing race is that no two teams take the exact same journey. They may have the same destination, but they encounter different challenges, different detours, different roadblocks, and different experiences along the way. And you know what? That's exactly how Christian life works. God never intended for your journey to look exactly like someone else's. In fact, Hebrews tells us that each of us has a race that has been marked out specifically for us. The writer doesn't say to run a race. He says to run the race marked out for us. That means God has an intentional plan and purpose for your life. God has given you a race to run, a calling to fulfill, and a journey that is uniquely yours. The problem is that many of us spend so much time looking at someone else's lane that we lose sight of our own. We compare our ministry, our marriage, our parenting, our career, our gifts, our timeline to the people around us. In a world fueled by social media and constant comparison, it's easy to feel like we're falling behind. But comparison is one of the quickest ways to lose endurance. When we focus on how fast someone else is running, we become discouraged about where God has us. We start asking questions like, why is their life working out and mine isn't? Or how about, why did they get the opportunity that I wanted? Or why is their career taking off? How about, why am I still waiting? Before long, we're spending more time watching someone else's race than running our own. That reminds me of a moment from Amazing Race. It was in season 7, and two teams were headed towards the same checkpoint. One team assumed the other knew the right way, so instead of trusting the directions they had been given, they simply followed the other team. The problem was, the other team was lost too. Before long, both teams had wasted valuable time because they were more focused on following someone else than paying attention to the clue right in front of them. Isn't that exactly what comparison does spiritually? God has already given us directions for our race, but instead of trusting Him, we start watching someone else's journey. We assume they know the way. We assume their timeline should become our timeline. We assume their success should become our success. And before we know it, we've drifted off course, not because God changed the plan, but because we stopped paying attention to the path that He marked out for us. And you know what? I am just as guilty as the next person. In fact, this might be one of my greatest challenges within myself, especially when it comes to my career. And those of you who know me well are like, yep, Devin, that checks, because it's true. I am an educator. I have been an educator for the past 15 years. And throughout my career and the various roles I have fulfilled, I always needed to be the best. And not the best in a, oh, I'm glorifying God, I want to do everything in excellence for Him, but the best in, like, I need to be the best and outrun everyone around me. I need to make sure everybody sees what I'm doing, and I just need to be the best. It is extremely unhealthy. I was looking for approval from others and not from God. And it found me comparing my journey with others. A few years ago, in fact, I was in a period of waiting for about 18 months. I was an instructional coach in my building, and I felt God calling me to administration. I had gone to school. I had been doing that coursework for 3 years. I was ready to hit the ground running. I found myself constantly comparing myself to others. During that period of 18 months, I received a lot of no's and a lot of not yets, and it was extremely painful. In that season, though, God was telling me to trust Him. He was constantly reminding me to stand on the truths of Ephesians 3:20. It says, "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to His power that is at work within us." He was reminding me to trust His timing and embrace the race He had uniquely marked out for me. And you know what? His perfect timing and His perfect plan prevailed. I was offered a position as an assistant principal in my district, but better yet, it was in the building I had called home for the past 10 years. This required me, though, to stop comparing my journey with others, but rather to trust God's perfect plan for me. That season taught me something I'll never forget. The enemy loves comparison because comparison shifts our focus from God's faithfulness to someone else's progress. Instead of celebrating what God's doing in our lives, we become consumed with what He's doing in someone else's. And if we're not careful, we'll spend so much time watching someone else's race that we stop running our own. But God never called us to run someone else's race. Listen to His promises in Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." Notice what God says. "The plans I have for you." He has a plan specifically designed for your life. Then Ephesians 2, verse 10, takes it a step further. For we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. Before you were born, God had already prepared a purpose for your life. He has already mapped out opportunities, relationships, and moments that are uniquely yours. So here's the question. Why would we spend our lives trying to live someone else's story when God has already written one uniquely for us? One day we won't stand before God and give him an account for someone else's race. We'll give an account for our own. And I don't believe he's going to ask why we weren't more like someone else. Instead, my prayer is that every one of us hears the words of Matthew 25:23. Well done, good and faithful servant. Not because we were the fastest or the most successful, but because we were faithful. So today, stop looking sideways and run your race faithfully. But knowing your race is only the first step, which leads us to our second truth. If we're going to run our race well, we have to lay down the things that weigh us down. Because even when we stop comparing ourselves to others, there's another challenge that can keep us from finishing well. It's possible to be in the right race, headed in the right direction, and still struggle to make progress because you're carrying things God never intended for you to carry. I brought this suitcase here with me today because it reminds me of how many of us are trying to live our Christian life. In the Amazing Race, contestants travel all over the world carrying only what they need. Imagine trying to win the race while dragging around a suitcase filled with bricks. You might still be moving, but you wouldn't move very far or very fast. The same thing happens spiritually. Many believers are trying to run their race while carrying unnecessary baggage. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." Notice that the writer just doesn't tell us to get rid of sin. He says to throw off everything that hinders. That means there are things weighing us down that might not be sinful in themselves, but they are keeping us from running freely. How about bitterness? Someone hurt you, and you're having a hard time giving it up. Or what about shame? God has forgiven you, but have you forgiven yourself? Or what about fear? Fear of failure? Fear of rejection? Fear of what's next? Or people pleasing? You know, it's really hard to be everything to everyone. Or how about unforgiveness? Or disappointment? Or anxiety? Or my favorite, control? How about regret? And before we know it, our suitcase is really heavy. Here's the problem. Eventually, what you're carrying becomes more exhausting than the race itself. Some of us think we're tired because following Jesus is hard. But maybe we're tired because we're carrying baggage Jesus never intended us to carry. Paul understood this in Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14, where he writes, "But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Paul knew that if he kept looking backward, he would never move forward. And then Jesus gives us this invitation in Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Notice Jesus doesn't say, "Carry it longer." He says, "Bring it to me." Maybe the reason you feel exhausted isn't that the race is too difficult. Maybe it's because your suitcase is too full. The question isn't whether you're running. The question is, what are you carrying? Runners don't finish races simply because they're carrying less weight. They finish because they stay focused on where they're going. That's the truth on the Amazing Race, and it's the truth with our walk with Christ. Now, you can know your race. You can lay down your baggage. But if you lose focus, you'll still find yourself off course, which leads us to our third truth. If we're going to endure to the finish line, we must keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. One of the most common reasons teams struggle on the Amazing Race isn't because they're slow or unprepared. It's because they get distracted. They take the wrong turn. They follow the wrong team. They focus on what everyone else is doing instead of paying attention to the map right in front of them. And while it's important to know your race and remove the things that weigh you down, neither of those things alone will get you to the finish line. Because even a runner who knows where they're going and has laid aside the unnecessary weight can still get off course if they lose focus. The same thing happens in our spiritual lives. That's why Hebrews 12:2 continues by saying, "Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured at the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." The writer tells us exactly how we endure: by fixing our eyes on Jesus. Whatever has your focus will shape the way you run your race. If your eyes are fixed on your problems, they'll eventually feel bigger than your God. If your eyes are fixed on other people, comparison will steal your joy. If your eyes are fixed on your circumstances, discouragement will begin to take over. But when your eyes are fixed on Jesus, everything changes. Your circumstances may not change overnight, but your perspective does. And when your perspective changes, you find the strength to keep taking the next faithful step. I think about Peter walking on water. As long as his eyes were fixed on Jesus, he did what seemed impossible. But the moment he focused on the wind and the waves, he began to sink. The storm didn't change. Jesus didn't move. But Peter's focus changed. And many of us are sinking under circumstances that have captured our attention because we've taken our eyes off the one who is leading us through them. The good news is that endurance isn't reserved for the strongest Christians. It's available to anyone who keeps their eyes fixed on Jesus. Isaiah 40:31 reminds us, "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on the wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." I love that promise because God never tells us the race will be easy. He never promises there won't be detours, roadblocks, or seasons of waiting. What he does promise is that he will sustain us through every mile of the journey. Sometimes he changes our circumstances. Sometimes he changes us. Either way, he never asks us to run the race alone. So how do we keep our eyes on Jesus? We do it by staying close to him. We spend time in prayer. We open up our Bible and read his word. And we worship even when we don't feel like it. We surround ourselves with a community of believers who encourage us and point us back to him. Those aren't just good Christian habits. They're the ways God continually redirects our focus from our circumstances back to our Savior. And I can tell you from experience that that's easier said than done. And I'll be the first to admit it's not easy. When our second child was born, he had to have major surgery at 3 days old. It was a shock to us, and we were facing unfamiliar and a potentially long road that we had not planned or prepared for. Remember what I said, control? God was like, Devin, you're not in control. During that season, it would have been easy to question God. It would have been easy to ask, why us? It would have been easy to let fear become the thing we focused on. And I can't say there weren't moments when that didn't happen, but God is always faithful. Through prayer, time in God's word, and the support of our family, friends, and CCC community, we were reminded of something incredibly important. The God we serve today is the same God we read about in Scripture. The same God who parted the Red Sea for Moses is the same God who still makes a way when there seems to be no way. The same God who protected Daniel in the lion's den is the God who still walks with us through our darkest fears. The same God who stood with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in that fiery furnace is the God who still meets us in the middle of our trials. The same God who defeated a giant through a shepherd boy named David is the God who still gives strength to those who feel weak and unqualified. The same God who restored Job after unimaginable loss is the God who still redeems broken situations. The same God who calmed a storm with one word is the God who still brings back peace in the middle of chaos. And the same God who conquered sin, death, and the grave through the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the same God who is still working miracles, still answering prayers, and still transforming lives and keeping his promises today. So while we didn't know exactly what the outcome would be, we knew who was in control. We knew that our circumstances had changed, but our God had not. The road ahead felt uncertain, but our Savior was not. And in that season, we learned what it means to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, not because we understood everything he was doing, but because we trusted who he was, who he is. And that's really at the heart of this third point. Endurance comes from fixing our eyes on Jesus. When our focus is on our circumstances, our problems often seem bigger than our God. When we focus our eyes on Jesus, we are reminded of his faithfulness, his power, his presence, and his promises. We didn't make it through that season because we had all the answers. We made it through because we kept looking to our God who did. That's why Hebrews 12:2 doesn't tell us to fix our eyes on the finish line, our feelings, or our circumstances. It tells us to fix our eyes on Jesus. And maybe that's where some of us find ourselves today. We're tired. Not because we've stopped believing, but the race has become harder than we expected. We've encountered detours we didn't choose, roadblocks we didn't anticipate, and seasons of waiting that have lasted far longer than we had imagined. Some of us have spent so much time comparing our race to someone else's that we've lost sight of the course God has laid out for us. Others are carrying baggage that has weighed us down for years, and some have become so focused on the obstacles around us that we've taken our eyes off Jesus. But as we've seen here today, the answer isn't to run faster. The answer is to run faithfully. I love how the Apostle Paul reflects on his life near the end of his ministry. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, he says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." Notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, "I was the fastest." He doesn't say, "I was the most successful." He doesn't say, "I accomplished more than everyone else." He says, "I have finished." Church, that's the goal here. Not speed, faithfulness. Not perfection, perseverance. Not applause from other people, but approval from God. One day, every one of us will cross that finish line of our race, and when that day comes, I don't think any of us will care how many followers we've had, how much influence we've gained, or how our timeline compared to someone else's. The only thing that will matter is whether we remained faithful to Jesus. That's why Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 9:24, "Run in such a way as to get the prize." So let me ask you, are you running someone else's race? Are you carrying baggage that Jesus is asking you to lay down? Have you allowed your eyes to drift from him? Because today is an opportunity to refocus and to fix our eyes on Jesus once again. And maybe your prayer today doesn't need to be, "Lord, make the race easier." Maybe your prayer needs to be, "Jesus, help me keep running. Help me stay faithful. Help me keep my eyes fixed on you." Because faith isn't about speed. It's about endurance and direction. And the good news is that the one who called you to this race is the same one who promises to run with you every step of the way. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this time together. I pray that if anyone has unnecessary baggage, has a detour that they're on, if they're looking at someone else's lane, if they're struggling to keep their eyes fixed on you, I pray that today is the day that they're able to lay it all down. I pray that they're able to have trust in you, Lord, the one who is the perfecter, the one who is faithful, the one who is unchanging. Lord, we come to you humble. And we come to you with gratitude, Lord. Thank you for going to that cross and allowing and carrying that burden on our behalf, Lord. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people to Jesus and the new life he offers.